It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, police!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, police!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoie.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's Monday, April 20th, 2026. What am I doing looking at you again?
Yeah.
Brother Jim?
There you were at meetings yesterday. Golly.
I'm in a meeting, and Jim is head of this meeting, all right?
So you could tell it was important.
Jim and a very important lady when it comes to, she's kind of way behind the scenes. I've never met her in the number of years that I've worked for you for
yes.
Desert Storm. And
Nope.
Never seen her. She's way behind the scenes.
Yep. Sherry. Hunt.
Yeah.
Yes. Part of our executive staff from the Bright Lights of Las Vegas. Yeah.
Right.
She is a very important player. We are so fortunate. Steve and I are so lucky. We've got the absolutely the A-team in the world of event production.
No doubt about it.
We couldn't begin to do it without these great people.
Well, we've got the A-team here today.
Yes.
With regard to Chiefs.
Yes.
Right?
We got the cream at the top.
Chief Sterling's nodding his head. Yeah, buddy, yeah. Kind of doing thrusting. Him and Chief Peter getting ready to do chest bumps.
I was referring to you. We have Chief Pete.
Yeah.
Oh. Cream of the crop.
Really? Yes. All right. So Lake Havasu City Police Chief Troy Sterling is here.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
You're in a what color is that, by the way?
I think it's purplish.
Purple-ish?
I can't get rid of the spring colors yet.
What's that scent that's purple that helps you sleep or whatever?
Oh, lavender?
That's lavender. I think that's lavender. Chief Pete, a little bit more stark today in the black and white.
Yeah. It's a Monday.
Usually the cops are in the black and whites, right?
Yeah. Sometimes I don't want to go there.
Lake Havasu City Fire Chief Pete Palafis, of course.
Yeah, good morning, everybody.
The fresh news this morning is, well, sort of fresh. Well, fire yesterday. Everyone was curious on social media what was happening.
Yeah, I noticed that. Well, our press release will be coming out shortly. We had a structure fire in the 900 block of Paso Drive. Neighbors observed smoke, and I'm sure when we have smoke here, almost the whole city can observe the large amount. So we had multiple calls on it, confirmed fire. First arriving companies had fire coming out of the rear of the structure, out of the roof, so it was already well involved. Upon our arrival, we had five engines, battalion chief. It was nice. We went right into a defensive operation. There was no one reported inside. So we had two firefighters just sustain some minor injuries during the operation. Thanks to our CERT team, they were out there assisting us with rehab, and we had some aid from Desert Hills to provide coverage while our department was taking care of this. Fire was controlled in approximately about 1 hour. We stayed there for between 2 and 3 hours just to overhaul and started the investigation process. So it basically started yesterday around 11:30 a.m. So we're still in the investigation of trying to find the cause and origin.
Start outside the home?
It appears that the majority of it started in the rear of the building.
Oh.
So based on...
a lot of brush on the property or
no.
Weeds?
No.
So,
no.
Chief,
no.
Was the house destroyed?
The house is uninhabitable, and I consider it total loss.
Gosh.
So
not good.
Yeah, but it was contained to at least the property. A little heat exposure to the house adjacent to it. But overall, the crews did a great job. Appreciate the individuals that reported it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it was well advanced when we got there. I mean, fire doubles every minute. So
were there a lot of people, onlookers on scene? And I've heard that. And when is it time to just kind of get out of the way?
Well, the thing is, when it becomes safe for our operation or hindering our operation, we work side by side with our police department to make sure that our firefighters are safe and have a safe area for operations. So the nice thing is we utilize technology to our advantage too. We have a camera on our battalion chief vehicle that we use it for training and also to document the behavior of the fire and where it's at. So it helps our investigators at least give them a timeline of what's occurring while we're in our operations. And the thing is, we just appreciate when you notify us and you get out of the way. So this allow us to do our job so we can actually put it out and then make sure that we're all safe.
I was imagining you have the little old ladies coming up with, you know, a little homemade lemonade or iced tea or something.
And again, we appreciate that. I mean, the love for our firefighters is great, and we just want to make sure that they're safe and you're safe, too.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, is the correct thing for a citizen that observes such to call 911?
There comes to a point where we override the 911 system, where they're just going to, the 911 dispatcher is going to be like, yes, it was already reported. We got individuals on the scene.
Yes.
So the thing is, we will get multiple calls on it, and that just verifies that we actually have a legit incident.
Uh-huh.
And then, I mean, when the individuals are driving too, it's like, dispatch is going to be very short with you and say, "Hey, we are aware of this. They're on their way." So we don't tie up short because we have other 911 calls going on besides
there could be
this
another
fire.
Emergency.
I mean, the city just doesn't stop because we have one fire. So
right. No,
no, it doesn't.
What's the plan if another fire does break out?
So the
thing
is, it has occurred since my time here, where we just have to adjust our resources and. Move another rig to that call. So it can happen, and it has happened. It just puts a lot of stress on our resources.
Okay. Chief Troy, you guys will be working hand-in-hand, obviously, with Desert Storm this week, right?
Yes.
A lot of people expected. What level of patrol or what level of enforcement can we expect from the police?
Ours is really more about being there, available, and presence. There are so many people there. You know, we want to make sure that we have people able to respond in case something does happen. Traditionally, there has not been, knock on wood, any bad occurrences there. But the amount of people in a small, really area, we want to make sure we have resources immediately available in case something does happen. So a lot of presence. There's a lot of education and making sure, you know, people aren't supposed to walk along the boulevard with their alcoholic beverages. And so just the education piece. They try not to take enforcement action unless they absolutely have to. But it's traditionally more of just having that presence there.
And, Jim, obviously there's a lot of money in town. I mean, if you have to ask how much that boat is, you probably can't afford it.
Right.
Right? So does that present another issue, Chief Troy?
As far as the amount of money in town?
You know, there's a lot of money.
More money.
Thefts. Be aware of where your things are. Be aware of where you're leaving them in your car, you know, especially if you're one of those folks that owns, you know, or on those teams. Does that make sense, Jim?
Yes, very fortunately, from the fine work that our police department does, that's not been, you know, not that it can't happen.
Right.
But
it's taking away the opportunities, right?
Yeah.
And I think, off the top of my head, I don't know of any, major incidents that have occurred with, you know, theft, those type of things. But it is truly about really anything, and in daily life, just taking away that opportunity for those that, you know, having valuables in plain view and yes, readily available for somebody just to snag and run. So, but yeah, traditionally I think it's pretty low on those occurrences.
Okay. Quite the discussion in, well, I would say my office, the green room, right, before the show. I was trying to kind of stay out of it a little bit, but Tracy asking you about drones and that sort of thing. What are there laws regarding drones in flying in neighborhoods, looking over fences, spying on people maybe? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, that's what we were trying to discuss. And there's some research I need to do, and I think we can probably do something with educating the public as well. It has to be pretty specific in what the drone is being utilized for, because you got to understand they're not illegal, first of all, and then so then now you have the public's expectation of privacy. So where does it cross the line? And that's where sometimes those things are even difficult to prove. Let's say somebody's flying their drone to surreptitiously record somebody in their backyard, and so being able to prove those type of allegations can be difficult. And so knock on wood, I don't know of a lot of calls for service we've had related to that. So when I get back to the office, I do want to research that, because I think it is a good topic to be able to start educating our public a little bit more on, because they're not going away, and right, they're only going to increase in nature.
And so many of the rules that do appear must be so next to impossible to enforce.
It can be, yeah.
You know, I mean, we get places where, like at the state park, it's the state park's rule that drones are not to be used.
Right.
So it sort of falls to us when we're putting an event on the state park that we keep from having drones fly. Well,
yeah.
And tell me how to do it short of shooting them down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's why you start seeing, especially, you know, law enforcement having the anti-drone, you know, abilities to be able to shut them down in that airspace, right? And so we don't currently haven't had that yet, thank goodness. But, you know, I can see that on the horizon at some point.
Hmm. Has that been an issue at Desert Storm? Drones?
Well, fortunately, like these other things we've touched on, it hasn't been an issue.
Right.
It certainly could be an issue. You know, a drone could do the high value of these boats.
Mm-hmm.
A flying object above them could easily do damage that the owner wouldn't want.
You wouldn't appreciate that.
You know,
for sure.
Aside from privacy issues, just the risk of physical damage. It wouldn't take much physical damage to be a substantial value.
Funny story, in my family, one of our kids in the family got a drone for Christmas one year, and flying in the neighborhood, and it fell out of the sky on top of my brother-in-law's vehicle. You know, so it does happen, you're right.
Wow. Is that your comprehensive coverage? You don't want to, that sounds like mayhem, doesn't it? You named the drone Mayhem. I was going to ask you, Chief.
Oh, about the hazardous waste event. It was
part. I think so.
Yeah,
let's go into that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just want to kind of just piggyback off the little conversation that I was listening with the drones is, will eventually become a problem once it is a problem.
Yeah.
So it's not if, it's just when it's going to be something does occur where it damages something or hurts someone just because of malfunction. But talking about the hazardous waste event, another successful hazardous waste event this Saturday with the partnership with Republic Service and the city. I don't have the numbers, but I did get some. Roughly, we served about over 240 vehicles came through the event. It seemed like at the beginning we had a good rush, and then it kind of just slowed down, and no one had to wait based on the information that I'm receiving. And I hope, Wayne, you call in that you got your propane, because I remember from our conversation. So, again, this is the opportunity for individuals to get rid of their hazardous waste at their home, their paints, their pesticides, their electronics. This is something that's very important for our landfill and for our city that we have these events with Republic Service, and it was hopefully a success. So I'm waiting for the quantities to come out, but we have a great location. that doesn't really hinder the operations of the city, and we've been doing it for such a long time, very similar to Desert Storm. We keep growing, too.
Mm-hmm,
yes. As our population keeps going, we do twice a year we do this. So we will continue this. So, kind of another successful hazardous household hazardous waste event.
What did you see a lot of?
They saw a lot of TVs, like 75-inch, 80-inch TVs that people were getting rid of. Were just like
flat screen TVs.
Yeah. So usually it's remember the tube TVs we had. So that was just something that just during conversation. CERT, again, hats off to them helping out with the hazardous waste event. That's what some of the information when they were working with public service, we're just seeing the amount of electronics this time coming through.
Yeah, I don't remember when the majority of the TVs that came through were the tube ones. Well, no, the rear projection.
Oh, yes.
Those big boxes.
Yes, yes,
yeah, that
yes.
was the first big screen that we had, and it was rear project.
Sure.
I don't know, maybe 5, 10 years ago, people were like, I don't need this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody would take them. Like, you would go to donate them to someplace, and we had a ton of them come in at the Boys and Girls Club at one time. We just can't take anymore.
Right.
And we're stacking them on top of each other. So, go from one electronic device, the drone, to another, the e-bike.
Yeah.
Oh, how is the e-bike enforcement / education component, how is all that working out right now? It seems like I'm seeing a lot of them.
It's going. But, you know, we're really, there's a lot of movement all over different states. So trying to keep an eye on, I know Vegas Metro has been, they did something recently with a presentation to their county, cities in California, just experiencing this technology and what's the right thing to do for city ordinances to limit where they can be. And so no different in Arizona. We drafted the city ordinance based on what we were seeing, really to update the ordinance on definitions, because the definitions were outdated. And so we did that, and we put into place some caveats as far as what we were going to do for enforcement. But the real key to that was the education piece. And so we're currently in our second round of our officers going to the schools and teaching the 3rd through 12th grade the rules of the road. We feel like that's been very beneficial. Overall, those that I talk to do seem to see a difference in how we're seeing, especially our youth, focused on the rules of the road and wearing helmets. We're seeing a lot more helmets, which is fantastic. Good. And so I think we've done a good job with that. There have been citations issued, and we're realizing that at some point we're probably going to need to update our ordinance again, but we're trying to see what other cities are doing so we can kind of do this one last time versus having to continue to revamp the city ordinance. So we're just trying to navigate through what is really best for our community, because our community is different than others. So it's going.
Aren't you going to have to continue to do that as the technology changes? Just yesterday I was exiting the boat show, and as I started to pull onto London Bridge Road, I think it was a family unit of four people, a couple of kids and a couple of adults were approaching, and I was debating whether to accelerate onto the street or to wait for them, and I could see the look of perplexed look on their faces too. And had they been bicycles, it would have been an easy decision. Had they been motorcycles, it would have been an easy decision. But they and I were all just, and what do we do? Mm-hmm. Should they stop? Do I keep going?
It's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Because the e-bikes especially, they get a false sense of security with the speed, the acceleration.
Yes, correct. Yep.
And that can lead to problems.
Yeah, and they still have the vulnerability of a bicycle.
Yeah.
I think it is, the collisions that we have seen, a lot of it is, I think anybody riding a bicycle or an electric bicycle, they need to play the defensive game here. You know, think about it that potentially drivers do not see you. And so if you act in that way, take the precautions, slow down at intersections, and cross streets, driveways, those type of things, take your safety into mind here, right? And, somebody said this to me, just because you're right doesn't mean that you're not dead,
yes.
You know, or not seriously injured, right? And so mm-hmm. that's a thing for especially those on these e-bikes. And mind you, I'm more worried about our youth because, you know, their skill level may not be appropriate for the type of machine,
sure.
you know, the device they're operating. And so that's where, you know, really I put that the parents need to get involved here and make sure that, you know, I just remember growing up, you know, my parents put me through the ringer to be able to ride my bicycle. I had to study the manual, answer uh-huh. questions, the rules of the road. And if I failed that test, I didn't get to ride my bike, you know, right? And so, you know, parents need to take that responsibility as well to help us out.
Nice. That's Chief Troy Sterling, and we've got Chief Pete Palafis in the studio as well, Brother Jim Russell. Just got a message from Chad Hansen over at Mojave Mortgage. Any first responder working Desert Storm, the street party, is invited to stop by Mojave Mortgage, the mothership, he calls it. You're stealing the name, man. The Mojave Mortgage mothership for free hot dogs, chips, and soda or water. That's
wow.
nice.
That's
Brought,
very
thank
cool.
You. He didn't say fire people. but no, he said first responder. I'm kidding. You're good.
Thanks.
I'm sure a fire chief qualifies as a first responder, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
All right. Back with more in a moment. 928-854-5687 if you want to participate. And Chad texted me on my personal phone.
Wow.
Not on the text line, yes. which is 928-727-5566, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And Jim's ready for this week, I think.
Yes. It's happening so fast, there's no time to get ready.
That tent.
Just react.
That tent is insane.
I believe it to be the biggest tent ever in Havasu, 8,500 square feet.
Their events tent, 8,500 square feet.
Wow.
Right. They raised the roof yesterday.
Yeah, Paul was there for the raising of the roof. It was a big roof.
The tent raising. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. It is the Dia de los Dos Jefes right here on KNTR Talk. All right.
Cause you're leaving, it don't mean it. I won't be right by your side. When you need me, you can't see me in the middle of the day. Get out of jail, I better go.
Says get out of Denver because you look just like a commie and we know you might just be a member. That's the cops telling the long-haired guys in Bob Seger's band to get out of Denver, baby. Right?
Sure.
I'm just saying.
We can't trust those long-haired guys.
That's a funny song. No, it's like back in the 70s, right? Police chasing the long hairs out of town. Now everybody's either long hair or they got a buzz cut, right?
Yep.
Or you're just normal like Jim and I.
That's right. We're right? normal.
Right.
That's a frightening thought.
Broadcasting from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. You can find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Also, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. And they love their first responders.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Hot dogs and coffee.
Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, by TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and by A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. And we're back on the Dia de los Dos Jefes.
Si.
Right? Translate that for me.
Yes.
Very
day,
funny.
The Day of the Two Chiefs.
Very good. Very good. All right. And I can't decide who I want to ask the first question to of this segment. Well, let's talk about the retirements that you've had lately, Chief.
Okay.
All right. You've had the two gentlemen that were in the officer-involved shooting behind the Walmart.
Yes.
Have they retired?
They are officially retired
wow.
now, yes. So that was Detectives Robert Shoemake and Kenny Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, they did get their retirement beginning of last month.
Okay.
And then even since then, well, even the end of last year, we had Sergeant Mark Doyle ended up retiring. And then most recently, Lieutenant Tyler Tribolet. And Officer Josh Sondrel. So those are our
wow.
recent retirements. And so I'll just kind of go into the recruitment piece, if that's okay. If that's what
Absolutely.
You want to talk about, sure.
Yes.
So The question's always asked, you know, where we sit on staffing. And so right now, as of today, as we sit, we have 10 police officer vacancies. What is unique about that is we have three that are currently finishing up their field training program, then they'll be solo officers. Two others just recently completed that. We have one in the academy, and so they're due to graduate in June, and then they'll start the field training program. And then our recruitment, it seems like in the past couple months, is really, we've seen a lot more quality applicants coming through. So that's been good. So we have 10 currently in our background process. And so...
Whoa, 10?
And 10's pretty
like
good.
A lot.
And so out of those 10, we have two out-of-state laterals, one from Utah, one from Illinois. And so they're promising they're in the final stages of that. And then we have others that are police officer trainees, essentially, that when we get through the background process, we can bring them on board. And we currently have one that just hired a few weeks ago. He's currently helping out staffing in our detention center, in our jail. And so we're looking to really get a good number into our next academy that starts in July. So there is positive coming from the police officer recruitment, but I don't want to discard. We have vacancies in our dispatch center and in our jail. And so our dispatch is currently down 6.
Oh, my.
And we have, which is nice, that recruitment is still ongoing, and we have two that are coming to us with some experience. So that'll be very helpful for us. So the recruitment process is an ongoing. We've been testing for police officer trainees every other week, and so we're getting up to trying to get backgrounds done in time for the academy now. So
I heard one red flag there.
Okay.
A lateral from Illinois.
keep Illinois out.
Are they? Do you think they're infiltrating?
I don't know about those Illinois guys. No, you're all right, Chief.
I appreciate
Chief,
it.
Chief, right. How many are in the department? How many active officers do we have in the?
We
city?
Have 84 allocated sworn positions. Okay. So that's from the chief down, and so we have with those, like I said, 10 vacancies. There are some holes and areas that I'd love to fill with more people, and that it really comes, our main focus is patrol, making sure we have enough staffing on the street, but I would really love to put more people in our traffic unit, our community services unit. We always need to put more into our narcotics unit, detective. So the more people we're able to get on board, we can start outfitting those other units.
Yep. Makes sense. What about you, Chief? Do you have any new staff coming in or retirements? Someone you want to give a salute to?
I'll give a little bit of where the fire department's at. Well, this Wednesday we have our promotional ceremony. We do our ceremonies for badge pinning in April and October. We have two individuals getting promoted, and I believe four have made it through their probation.
Okay.
That's an excellent start. We actually hired three, and we onboarded one of our apprentices that just finished the fire academy over in Mo Valley. Actually, just about 2 weeks ago, I believe, that we hired three. So we have one open position. Our fire marshal, we're currently going through the process. The application process is shut down, and we are going to go to interviews. We have a retirement coming up in September 1st of this year for our public education specialist. Gina Gutierrez is retiring. Great individual that has taken really our community outreach programs and our CTE program to the next level. So she'll be sorely missed. We have a deputy chief of administration. Jeff Kemp will be retiring December of this year. He's finishing off his 7-year drop. And then we have one of our fire apprenticeship that will be graduating in May out of the academy that we're hosting over at Station 2 with Mojave College. We'll be, depending on how our budget goes, but for Station 7, hopefully next fiscal year, we'll be hiring 6 for when that station is going to open up sometime in 2027. So looking forward to that. But I still have the... December of 2027 is our big retirement, where I have approximately 7 individuals that will be leaving on December 31st. That is a known, and that's from captain level to my deputy chief of operation. So I've been trying to prepare for that since 2020.
Wow.
With our succession planning and the things that we have been doing within the department to make that transition. I've been expressing to our department, and I have my state of the department, once our budget approved is in July, we're going to talk about a great reset. Where the thing is, we're going to have a lot of individuals that still need a lot more experience in those upper roles and what we're going to do to move forward to combat that. And that's a lot of individuals. I have 15 people in the drop. That's from 2027 to about 2031 that I know that they were going to be leaving during that time. That's a lot of institutional knowledge, a lot of experience that is going to be missed, but we're going to work through it. Hey, the machine will continue to move forward. We will continue to move forward. So there's kind of highlight within our department, but we will make sure that we continue to provide the highest quality of service to our residents and do the best we can.
You guys, you ever have problems with people that don't want to be promoted? They just want to stay right where they're at. They don't want the extra responsibility.
Yeah, and
I can't ever figure that out.
Well, why not? The thing is, I always say promotions are privilege. It's not right. It's
okay.
Not a right. So the thing is, you have to earn it, and you have to want to do it. I need you, if you want to be a leader, is to provide that leadership and experience. The opportunity is there for you.
Yeah.
If not, then we have to start looking to the outside. And when individuals come in from the outside, and I'll use myself as an example, it is somewhat of a challenge coming into a new environment, new culture, because you were never brought up in the system.
Correct.
But the thing is, like myself, I came in at the top, so it's a lot different, but the thing is, you always have to continuously learn and continue to master what you're trying to achieve. And here in Lake Havasu, that's why my best recruiters are my employees.
Sure.
They're the ones that are going to bring the individuals here, and along with our setting and the support that we receive from the community is, do you want to serve the Lake Havasu residents? It's a great place to live, great place to work, and great place to have fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we have lots of great events and opportunities for individuals to grow here. As we continue to grow as a city, that is going to put stress on our public safety. It's going to put stress on our whole system. So we need to prepare for that. So, but we are, as directors, that's what we do on a constant basis, is put out those trash can fires every day to basically deal with problems, solve problems, and move forward.
Interesting.
Very good.
So, Chief Troy, I saw you nodding your head when I asked that question. Mm-hmm. You see that a lot with people that, you know, I just want to stay where I'm at. I don't want that extra responsibility.
Yep, definitely. And that's okay. We need every kind,
yes.
Right? Everybody has a niche somewhere, and if they don't have the, I guess the internal intrinsic motivation to, to promote, then that's on them. But yeah, I agree with Pete. The opportunities are there, and so that I don't want to be remiss in, because we talked about the retirements. Well, there were two recent promotions because of those retirements. Lieutenant Ian Daly, he was promoted, and Sergeant Dana Peterson. So we did their badge pinning last Wednesday.
Nice.
So just recognize them.
Well, I thought of a song about fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fire by the Ohio Players, probably way before your time.
Yeah, I've seen this. This was, I think, on Ladder 49. They had this song in the movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a movie called Ladder 49.
Have you ever seen Backdraft?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yes.
That's the next one you should
watch. That was a good save, right?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, man. All right. That's Chief Pete Palafis. Chief Troy Sterling is also here, Lake Havasu City Police Chief, and no chief of his own of anything except for DSM.
Yeah, that's right. That's enough.
But now you have a co-chief.
Yes. Yes, Steve Tickner, my partner.
That's right. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR, or text us at 928-727-5566. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
Rangers.
That's all because Chief Pete got here before noon.
Yes.
I can't believe, still can't believe you asked me that question.
Hey, but believe
it. Time to show today.
Well, sometimes we were talking about switching to noon, but you reminded me we're not doing that until November.
No, with Chad, I get it every month.
Yeah.
You know, what time's the show?
Yeah. Well, don't worry. Karen, my management analyst, put it on my calendar. So appreciate that, Karen, because she listens. You're a fourth listener.
Oh,
so.
Wow.
Yeah. You're number three then?
I'm either one or two. Well, Wayne's number one, I mean.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
You remember Blind Chuck?
Yes.
Blind Chuck used to be number one, yeah. I don't know where he is lately.
Was he out of Kingman?
No, he was here. Okay. He was here. But he only got us on the AM.
Oh.
But now the AM is sports. So I don't know if he's listening to sports talk just out of loyalty or what.
Maybe he hasn't gotten an FM radio.
I don't know. Speak Out brought to you in part by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. We'll have them as a guest on the show tomorrow in the first half. Also, Springburg Wealth Management by the Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooter's Outpost by Solar Power by Ismay Electric, Dorita's Place, and Legacy Rehab and Care, and Shop Local, Spend Local, Eat Local, and Play Local, especially this week. Desert Storm people
in
town?
Yes, man. Yes. Yeah, and be local on the boulevard for the Go Lake Havasu Street Party on Thursday. We have new big sponsorship from the International Hot Rod Association, biggest event.
What's the cruising event with the kids?
Cruising
about that
for a cause.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the
first. Have you guys heard of this?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first event of the four major events that make up Desert Storm. And that's where our very, very generous participants donate their time and their lovely boats and take special needs people and their caregivers for rides in these multi-million dollar boats. And it is it's an eye-watering experience to see this done and how much appreciated it is. And I have learned that is the largest special needs function in Mojave County.
Interesting.
And everything you guys do is the largest.
It is. It's the biggest. Well, I'm.
It's true, though.
I'm very proud of
that. The tent is the largest.
This is the largest event ever in Lake Havasu. One of the four is the largest event. Everything we do is thanks to the wonderful people. Thanks to Havasu. And it's all free to Havasu.
It's the crew. I met the crew yesterday.
You met a lot of powerful people that donate a vast amount of time with us building this event. And folks, when you enjoy the street party, leave the dogs home. Please carpool. That's a big problem is parking. Please carpool. And with the dogs at home, leave the alcohol.
Mm.
The dogs will enjoy it.
Yes.
And
I wonder where you're going with that.
Chief.
Yes.
Is there a beer garden?
Eye
of the storm. That's
yes,
what
the eye of the storm
is going to be called.
We have the wonderful Romer products and Budweiser products and Good Boy products available inside the commons, and of course the taverns on the boulevard welcome you to this. So. But please leave the liquor home. Please do that. That's a serious problem for us, for our PD. We don't want you to have an unpleasant experience as a result. And carpool.
Great segue to my next question for Chief Troy. With the it seems like every story I read, there's 6-7 stories a day on drug arrests in the paper.
Yeah.
And fentanyl. And meth, and there's just seizures of all sorts on this 420 day, right? That's what today is. It's 420 day. It's April 20th. So, no, but a good topic to talk about because why the increase?
I don't know if it's an increase, but our unit has been very proactive, and so it seems like almost weekly they're doing some big bust,
is
right?
Is that from training, like how to spot the impaired drivers?
No, a lot of it, I mean, some of these investigations take months and months to get to the end result. And so, you know, a lot of surveillance, a lot of things that go into the background of it, and it just, a lot of these culminated in close proximity to one another. And yeah, you know, it used to be we had that trend for a long time with the fentanyl pills we were seeing. The pills have really died down. We're seeing a lot more meth now, the fentanyl powder, which could be mixed with anything. The meth, we've seen the heroin, we've seen mushrooms. So, but meth is really making that big comeback right now, which is very concerning, you know, because back in the day, we used to run into the issue with the meth labs that were being created, which are very hazardous environments. And so we're trying to keep an eye on that. Knock on wood, so far, we haven't seen indications that labs are starting up. But it is being transported in from out of city, coming in from either the Phoenix or California areas. And so our detectives, our special investigations unit, have been doing a tremendous job in cracking down, of course, with the help of our canine, Echo. And, of course, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge that we are part of the Mojave Area General Narcotics Enforcement Team. So that's Magnet with Bullhead, Kingman, Mojave County. We work very well together with the other agencies, and so we're all over the place making these drug busts.
Yeah, and Chief Pete, this is before your time here. There, with the meth labs in the homes, yeah, is creating a problem with the real estate and reselling those. Yeah. There's a big process in having to clean those and the toxic substances in that.
Yeah, they were nasty. We had to have special people trained and had to call in decontamination labs, and it was just it was a nightmare. Yeah.
So you have a new data system in place, right?
We do. We do have a, it's called CAD-RMS, so Computer Aided Dispatching Report Management System. We went with the platform called Motorola Flex. The system that we were on for just over 10 years was causing a lot of frustration levels. And so we really, in the past few years, have been trying to figure out which vendor we wanted to go with. And so we have a very solid team that was involved in the last implementation. They knew it. We were looking for what we needed, and so they vetted a lot of different vendors, and we came up with Motorola Flex being the one that fit our needs the most. We just went live February 9th with that platform, and so a lot of cool things, but really simplicity for the public is a good way for us to be able to streamline dispatch processes, right? They're always about streamlining processes. They have enough work on their plate as it is, so as much as we can take off, the better. So it's gone to automated recommendations for closest available medical units. That's been a fantastic piece. But there's also an automated dispatching piece, especially for fire. I don't know, Chief Pete was really excited about that part, where, you know, now medical calls come in, it's automated dispatching to the medical unit. So you don't have to wait for a dispatcher to find time to do that. Mm-hmm. It's a seamless process. And one of the things internally that was a big deal for us was not having to navigate multiple platforms. In other words, so an officer, they make an arrest in the field, all that information is transferred all the way through the system to, let's say, the booking process, right? Mm-hmm. Where before we had to duplicate efforts here in information and adding information, adding evidence. We had to go into two separate locations to add evidence in one, then add it into the evidence management system for barcoding purposes. This is all seamless now. It's all part of the same system, and data transfers to one to the, you know, one system to the other. It's just very, it seems simple, right? But we didn't have that before. So, and so, yeah, we're very happy with this, knock on wood. We're still working through a lot of processes. And one of the things from the public's perspective, we used to have the public-facing portal, which was the P2C, most people knew it as, where they could see the arrests, you know, the history of activity that was occurring. That did go away with this transition. We are going to be coming back online with what's called Command Central, and right now that's what we're in the background of. It had to, you know, update servers, the whole works behind the scenes, and this week is actually a meeting with Motorola for the kickoff, so we hope to have that portal up and running here in the near future.
Is that where silent witness tips come in as well?
They can, yes.
Oh, okay. Yep. Jim, you had something?
I didn't know. Sadly, not to add to that, but I neglected to mention that this is the fourth year of Anderson Power Sports and Marine title sponsorship of Desert Storm. We could not have done it without Anderson, along with all of our events that they support. And this is presented by Kicker Marine Audio for the fourth
year. Absolutely. All right. Chiefs, did you have anything else?
No, I just hope everybody has a great time at Desert Storm. Be careful. Please be smart. At least the fire department will be out there during the block party just to make sure that everybody's safe and make sure that we still have access to the businesses that still need protection during this block party.
Great.
So working well with your entire group. Love you guys.
Appreciate it.
And we'll have another successful Desert Storm.
Temps in the mid to upper 80s, by the way.
Yes.
It's going to be phenomenal.
Going to be good.
Folks,
gonna
leave your
good.
Pets at home.
Yes.
Leave the pets at home. Sorry. We're not being anti-pet. It's just the way it is.
Too many people.
All right. All right. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
another
you.
Successful voyage. Back with more in a moment. I'll have a final shot when we come back. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to Speak Out. On tomorrow's show, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, and we've got a guy on, Bob Barrett, no stranger to the editorial page in the Today's News Herald.
Uh-huh.
We're going to be talking about the medians. You might want to get those fingers warmed up for the phones, folks.
Oh, my.
We'll see you tomorrow.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.